Today, Shiz Masech Baba Metzia, Daf Chav Beis, we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Aleph Amud Beis, 14 lines from the bottom. We are in the middle of the discussion, the Machloikis of Abaye V'Rava regarding Yir Shloim Das, that when something was lost, the owner of that object was not aware that it was lost, so there was no Yish at that point, but later on, when he became aware that this item was lost, then he was Miyash. And we've been discussing in our shiurim, what is the halacha about yish le'medas? Abaye's opinion is lo yhav yish, and therefore that object must be returned. And Rava's opinion is that yish le'medas have a yish, and therefore the halacha is that object need not be returned. It could remain with the finder. Says the Gemara. The Gemara asks a question on Rava's opinion. Toshma. The Mishnah Masech the Meisers Paragimel Mishnah Dal teaches us, if somebody finds Ketzios B'derech, figs that were put out for drying on the road, a filu mistakes Ketzios, even if it's next to a field of other figs that were left to dry, V'chein Tein Anoit L'Derech, there's a fig tree that's overhanging on the road, U'matza Teinim Tachten, you find figs under it, the person who would take these fruits is not considered that he did gezel, and there's no chiyev meiser, because since the owners we assume were miyash from them. Once the owners were miyash from them, taking them is not considered an act of gezel, and there's no chiyev meiser. However, Zaysim, when we speak about olives, b'charuvim, when we speak about carob, osur, we may not take them because they still belong to the owner. Says the Gemara Bishlam Aresha, the first part of this Mishnah is not considered a question on Abaye's opinion, that even though Abaye holds that liyush shlemidas is ha'yavayush, it's still not going to be a question on Abaye, because agav d'chshivi, since these are very expensive and significant fruit, a person is always paying attention to these fruits. And since the person is always paying attention to these fruits, he knows if they dropped, and there's no lag between the dropping and the yush. Tain and Namni, the same thing by figs, that may they do the Nasra. It's well known that they keep on falling down. Since it's well known that they keep on falling down, the person is aware and is miyash from them. Ella Seifa, but ask the mother Seifa, Rabbi Kasha, the Tani, the Seifa says that if Zaysim and Charuvim were found, they're usur, because the owner wasn't aware that they got lost. And that's why the owner wasn't miyash. But according to Rava, that's an example of Yish Lemidas. And Rava holds that Yish Lemidas is Yish. Isn't this Mishnah proof that Yish Lemidas is not Yish? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Avua. The explanation of that Mishnah is different. Shani Zayis, when we speak about olives, Hoyl v'chazusa mechiyichalav. You could tell somebody's olives, everybody's olives are unique, and therefore the person, even if his olives fall, are not miyash, because he knows that he'll be able to identify his olives. Vavagav the Nasrin Zaysim, and even though, therefore, if his olives fell, may the idea, he's aware that Duchta the Inish Inishu, that the place of a person is according like him. And so too, every place, every person is unique, and every olive is unique. And therefore, the person knows that they're his olives, so he'll be able to give a simon and retrieve them, and that's why he's not miyash. Ask the Gemara, Yehochi, if that's the reality about fruit, that they're unique, and you could always identify which is your fruit, ask the Gemara, Fila Resha, then even the first part of the Mishnah, why do we say that there's yush? Nami, why do we say that the Yish and the person who picks it up could keep it? Why should we not say that this, he'll be able to tell, the person who lost it could always identify which is here? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa Ta'ena, a fig, im nefilasa in the messes. It right away gets messy, and people don't want to eat it. And that's why, even though maybe he could tell that it's his, but he won't take it because it's not nice. So the Gemara brings now a raya to Rava's opinion. Toshma, the Braisa teaches us, Haganav shenotel mizev v'nosnel zev. Haganav took, and we always explain the Masechta Baba Kama, the difference between a Ganav and a Gazlan is a Ganav who does something surreptitiously. You don't know who stole it. So the Braisa teaches us, Haganav shenotel mizev v'nosnel zev, took something from one person and gave it to another person, became Gazlan, which is a person that is more brazen, that took it, shenotel mizev v'nosnel zev, took it from one person, gave it to another person. V'kein yardein, if the river, yardein, shenotel mizev, took something that flooded, and took something that belonged to one person, v'nosnel zev, and flooded it onto another person's property, ma shenotel notel, ma shenosen nosen. Whoever has it now on his property, it becomes his. Of course, the halacha will be, and we've discussed this halacha, the ganef and the gazlin will be responsible, because as soon as you take something from somebody, you become obligated in the halacha of a heshiv as gazela ashagazel, and therefore you become automatically responsible. But the person in whose property it was deposited can keep it. Says the Gemara, Bishlam a Gazlan v'yardin, by the halacha by Gazlan v'yardin is understandable even according to the Baya, because the person who is the victim, kachazilei, he sees what's happening, knows what's happening, and he's miyash, el a ganef. But when we speak about a ganef, that, as we said, the definition of a ganef is that it was done surreptitiously. You don't know who the ganef is. Mika chazilei, you don't know that it happened, that we should say that there was a yush. And according to Abaya, halacha is that if there wasn't for sure yush, then the finder can't keep it. Answers the Gemara, Tergmara, Papa Belista Mezuyin, that it's talking about a list of Mezuyin, and therefore he was well aware, the victim was well aware of what happened. So ask the Gemara, Ihochi, so then a gazlin and a list of mezuyin are the same. So why did both have to be mentioned? Ask the Gemara, Yochai and gazlin, isn't that the same as a gazlin? Answers the Gemara, Trey Gavni Gazlin. The Braisa wants to teach us that there are two types of gazlin. One is somebody who is actually hiding. And this is the way many Rishonim explain the Gemara. He's actually hiding, but he's carrying a weapon. So it is being done in a way that people don't see. He doesn't want people to see. And the proof is that he feels the need to carry a gun. And that's the one that's called the ganef. And then there's the gazlan, who's the outright thief. And the Bryce is teaching us both cases. Because if we would have only spoken about a list of mezuyin, we would say that there is where the victim is miyash. Because the perpetrator came with a gun. So, of course, he's very frightened. And if it would have only said a gazlan, we would say, because here you're speaking about a person who's not scared of other people. He comes open in the open to steal. That's why the Braisa told us both halachas, to both cases, to teach us that in both cases, it's considered a situation of yiyush. And that's why even Abaye, obviously, as the Braisa teaches us, agrees that it belongs to the finder. This is the way the Chazon Yecheskel just explained the Gemara. Ask the Gemara for a different Braisa on the opinion of Rava. The Braisa teaches us, Shata nor Karev, if the river flooded, caused his beams, eights of his wood, of one of his stones, and they deposited them, it was Nosna Bastei Chaveroi, and they deposited them in somebody else's field. Harayel Shaloi, it becomes the property of the person in whose field it was deposited, because since this was well known, there was this flood, so the victim is well aware what happened to him. But what do we see? Then what is the Braisa teaching us? Because it was a situation that he's well aware of what happened. Tamad and Nishya Shubalim, because the owner is well aware what happened to his wood, and that's why he was Miyash, because he knows what's going on. Isn't the Braisa teaching us, asked the Gemara, Hastama, were he not aware, Loi, then there isn't any Yush, and there isn't any Yush, then the finder can't keep it. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skin, and the Braisa is speaking about a situation, not that everybody's Rava will say, that everybody's aware. The Braisa is speaking about a case, Kishiyocha Lahatzel, that it has nothing to do with being aware or not being aware. The difference is, can you save it or not? So ask the Gemara Yehochi, if that's what the Braisa in the Reisha means to say, ask the Gemara Ema Seifa, let's continue learning the Braisa. The Braisa says, Imho Yibalim Ratam Machreim, if you see the owners of these wood, the beam running after them, Chayiv Lahachser, then the person in whose property was deposited, you have to, must return it. So because they were running after it, it's a proof they weren't Miyash. But ask the Gemara, Ibe Yachayim Lahatzel, if we're speaking about a case that it's something that could be saved. So the fact that they could be saved is enough of a reason that it shouldn't be, that there shouldn't be an automatic Yush. So why does the Braisa say that it's only no Yush if they're trying to save it? This halacha ought to apply as long as they're salvageable, I feel amarat for Nami, even if they're not running after it. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skin, and the way to understand the Braisa is b'yichoyim lahatzalei deitchak. They could be saved, but only with difficulty. Maratfin, if we see that the owners of these objects are running after them, it's a proof, the loyayash, that they haven't given up, and that's why the finder may not keep it. A maratfin, but if they're not running after it, that and given that it's a situation where it's difficult to take hold of it, it's a proof that a miyash, it's a proof that they were miyash, and that's why the finder may keep it. The Shas HaTshuvas, Chelkas Yaakov, Choshe Mishpat, Simon Tezvov, discusses the halacha in a situation about people who lost valuables during World War II. And the discussion that he has there is that the people who now have those valuables, are they allowed to use them or not? He says that at first glance, that we learned that we'll learn that the halacha is hamatzel manari v'zutel shayam. If somebody saves something from a lion or from a flood, hare elu shaloi, it becomes the property of the person. It becomes the property of the person who found it. And the halacha is even if the person who lost it is standing, that's mine, the halacha is that it becomes the finder's. So, and certainly in the case of the war, with such terrible times, where certainly whatever was lost should no longer be considered the property of the original owner. However, the Ramah in Simon Reish Nuntes says that even though the halacha is that under such circumstances you need not return it, the halacha is, since Dina de Malchus Adina, the law of many countries is that it does go back to the original owners. And he also, the Ramah also says, Bitzat Takana, the Rabbanim felt that for proper reasons it should go back. So therefore, the halacha is that it should go back to the original owners of these objects, even though they were lost in a terrible war. However, and this is also the psak of the Miches Yitzchok, Chel Ches Simen Samach Tes. But it's interesting to point out that the Miches Yitzchok in that tshuva says that yes, the Ramah says there's a special law, there's a special takana that gives it back to the original owner, but says the Miches Yitzchok, that's only to the original owner. But if it was something that if the original owner is no longer here, and now we're only speaking about the yorshim of those original owners, he says that's now where the takana of the Ramah applies, and therefore the halacha will be, says the says the Michas Yitzchak, that the people who have it may not necessarily have to give it back. The Gemara asks a question on Abai's opinion. Toshma, the Braisa says, Ketzah Omru, Tarim Shloim Das, Trumas Truma. The halacha is that one person can take Truma on behalf of another person. But the halacha teaches us that that's only if he was given permission. But teaches us the Braisa, Ketzah Omru, Tarim Shloim Das, when is the halacha that if you take Truma on behalf of someone else, that without his permission, Trumas Truma? Says the Braisa, I went into somebody else's field, velikate, and I collected fruit, and I took off truma, shloi b'shus, without any permission, im choshish, m'shim gazel, if the person who owns that property, that owns that produce, considers me to be a gazlin, then the halacha is, ain trumasa truma, what I did is not valid. Im lav, otherwise, trumasa truma is considered halachically valid. Ask the Braisa, Umnain hu yodeya im choshim shim gezum lav. But how am I to know what is the owner's thinking? Says the Braisa, Aresha balbayis umatzo. If the owner comes and finds me this way, vamaloi, and his comment to me is, kalech etzel yofis. You should have taken even better fruit. So the halacha is, im nintzu yofis mehem. If indeed that's the case, that there are better fruits there, so the statement that he made is taken to mean that he's satisfied with what I did, and he's only saying to me, you could have even done better, and therefore the halacha is truma se truma. Then laugh, but if not, ain't truma se truma. It was certainly, he only meant it to say something. How'd you have a right to do it? Why don't you take even better? He was being sarcastic. Continues the Braisa. Liktu habalim, if the owner went for sifun oleim and added on that truma that I took, benkach and benkach, that is clearly an indication that he's satisfied with what I did, and therefore truma is a truma. So Miri asks, the halacha is that once truma is taken from produce, you can't take truma again. So how could the Braisa teach us that if somebody took truma, and the halacha is considered a valid act, then the second truma will also be truma. That so one teretz that the Miri suggests is that the Braisa means to say that the second truma will be actually tevel. What he's doing will not count. But most Rishonim don't agree with the Miri's teretz, and they explain that the halacha we know is that truma is given a 40th, a 50th, or 60th. And what happened here was that the shliach, albeit without permission, took an amount of truma, and then he took, let's say, only a 60th. And he took a 60th, and then the next person, the owner, said, well, that's not good enough. I would have wanted you to take a 50th. I would have wanted to take a 40th. Then the halacha is, since when that's done, that's just coming to bring it up to the proper shear, to the proper amount. That's why it's all considered truma. But ask the Gemara, v'chi nimtzu yofis mehen. Ask the Gemara, why is the halacha that if indeed there's better produce there, the halacha will be that it'll be considered what the first person did, truma so truma. But ask the Gemara, mai, at the moment when this person took the truma, in the Torah, he didn't know that this person will be satisfied with what I did. Clearly we see from here that the fact that later on we find out that he was satisfied is adequate. So shouldn't that be the halacha by Yish as well? That when the fact that the owner was ultimately miyash, it should be adequate that it should be considered a case of Yish. Answers the Gemara, telling my Rav, I'll leave it to Baya. Rav explained this Braisa that it shouldn't be difficult, according to Baya, that we speak here about a case, the Shavya Shliach. It's not that the person completely did it by himself. When the owner of this produce says that I'm satisfied with what you did, really what he did was he made him retroactively into a Shliach. And says the Gemara, Hachanam Mistabra, that that's the right way to understand this braisa. These sakadatach, if we're going to say that just all he did was just express satisfaction, but the loy shav yishliach, he didn't make him into shliach. So then the question would be, me have a trumasa truma? Would it be considered a valid act of truma? V'ha, the pasuk says that, and this is the source for learning hilchas shlichus by truma, and actually in all areas of halacha, the pasuk says, "Kein trumu gam atem trumas Hashem." And we learn from here, "Atem gam atem omrachmana." The Torah adds the words "gam atem" l'rabbis shluchachem, that a shliach could be qualified to take with truma. But we learn from here, "Ma atem l'datchem." When you take with truma, you have to obviously be know what you're doing. "Af shluchachem l'datchem." When your shliach takes with truma, he has to know what he's doing. So how will it be valid, even if the owner was satisfied, but the person who took the truma wasn't a shliach for that person? How must we understand that we are referring here to a situation, kigoyim davyeh shliach, he made him into shliach v'amalei zil troim. However, when I appointed to be a shliach, v'amalei troim ani, I didn't identify from where he should take the truma. V'stam the balabayis, k'troim, when normally when a balabayis wants truma to be taken, we assume mevenes hutarim. He wants the average share, which is 1/50th, or from the regular payers. Vazel iu v'tarim yofis. And the shliach, instead of using the average grade produce, used the high quality. Or bal balabayis v'am matzoya. Now the balabayis found that that's what he did. V'amalei kolach atziyofis. They said you should have taken even better. So that halach is imnim to yofis mehen. If we indeed find that there are better, so we see that he's satisfied with what happened, and that's why truma se truma. Mlav, we see that he's dissatisfied, and therefore what he did is ain truma se truma. The shal se chuvis tzemech tzedek discusses a situation where somebody wrote a document that he's going to give him. There's one person is going to give another person good quality clothing, and he ends up giving him average quality. The question is, will that be considered that he fulfilled his obligation? On one hand, he could say, since there's worse than this, so this is good enough. Or he said, no, you're going to give me good quality, you have to give me the best. So the Tzemach Tzedek writes that since we have to follow the wording of the document, and since the wording of the document was begodim toivim, good clothing, he didn't write the word mufcharim, which means exceptional. So it says average is considered good. And he brings a raya. The pasuk in Tehillim says, v'im tzadikim al yikosevu, and the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah daf tes zayin amud beis says, that pasuk that says the word tzaddikim is speaking about beninim. We know the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that there are three categories, tzaddikim, beninim, and rishoyim. And here the pasuk uses the word tzaddikim and it refers to the beninim, the average. The Marsham, however, in Chelek Beis Siman Kuf Tzadik Zayin, says that if somebody sold somebody else grain and he wrote that it's going to be good grain, he says that he has to give him the best quality grain. And if not, he hasn't fulfilled that his obligation. And this is very much connected to what we're learning in our Gemara, because our Gemara says when you told somebody to take tefuah, what does it mean? The average, or does it have to mean the best? And our Gemara says we could tell from the reaction of the owner. Says the Gemara, Amema Mazut Ravashi, Iklu Labusta de Mari Bar Asik. They came to the field of Mari Bar Asik. Aisa Arise Tamarimani, the Arise, the sharecropper of Mari Bar Asik, bought figs and pomegranates, the Shadu Kamayu, and he gave them to eat. Says the Gemara, Amema Ravashi Achla, Amema Ravashi ate from them, Mazut Ravashi Achal. He didn't eat because he assumed that this oris did not have permission to give them this fruit. So the Ran explains As we just said, an oris is a sharecropper. And therefore, says the Ran, that the reason that a Maimon of Ashi ate, because they felt that this oris is ultimately going to divide up the fruit, and the fruit that he's giving them is he's going to deduct from his share. And therefore, since they felt, so even though the actual division had not yet taken place, he said they were under the assumption that that is going to be a good enough reason for them to be allowed to eat from that fruit. The Ritva has a whole different approach to this Gemara. The Ritva says that they were confident that the owner of this property, Mari Bar Asik, was certainly a person that would want to have the guests who are eating, who are here, eat from his fruit. So even though he wasn't aware that they were here, and even though they didn't give them express permission, the fact that they were confident that he would give them such permission was a good enough reason for them to allow to eat. And that causes Tosfos over here, the Tosfos in the bottom of the Amud, Mazutra Loyachal, to begin a permission, a discussion, can I take something from somebody else without his permission when I intend to put it back, or I'm confident that the person who I'm taking his object would be very satisfied with what I'm doing. So the halacha is, as the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah summarizes the halacha, you're not allowed to take something from somebody else without their permission, even in a case where you're not causing any loss to the person who you're taking it from. That means you're taking something that isn't getting ruined by your using it. And therefore, certainly in a case where you're taking a food item, for example, that by eating that food, you cause a loss to the owner because you ate up the food, even if you're confident that you're going to pay back what you've taken, and even if you're confident that the person from whom what you've taken is more than happy and satisfied for your doing, for what you're doing, you still, without express permission, not allowed to take it. However, if there it's a situation where you're desperate for the food, there the poskim, and you're confident that the person would be satisfied, maybe you could be lenient. However, in a case where there's no damage to the object, and you're confident that the person whose object you're taking would be happy, so certainly in a case where you could get permission, you could call them, then you shouldn't take it without permission. In a case where that isn't necessarily possible, and it's referring to a person that you know would be satisfied with what you're doing, there's room to be makel. Certainly, the halacha is that if what you're taking is a dvar mitzvah, in other words, I come to a shul and there's a talis tefillin that belonged to another person, and he doesn't need the talis and tefillin at that time, and I'm not ruining the talis and tefillin at that time by using them. As long as I fold the talis and tefillin as I found them and put them back in the place where they were, then the halacha is that I'm allowed to use it. Because there we have another consideration. And the consideration there is that what we are referring to here is a dvar mitzvah. And when we're referring to a dvar mitzvah, there the halacha is more lenient. There's an interesting question. What about two interesting questions? One is, in the world that we live in the post-COVID world, where people are much more sensitive that other people shouldn't use things of theirs, put them on their body, will the same halacha apply? And the other thing is, let's say I'm taking something that belongs to someone else, and we just discussed that there's a difference in halacha if what I'm taking will be consumed, or I could put it back as is, but I'm taking it l'tzarech mitzvah. That means I come home, and it's Hanukkah, and I discover I don't have any olive oil, and there's no store where I could go at this time to go buy olive oil. May I take olive oil? This comes up in yeshivas where there are boys in a dormitory together and one boy realizes that he doesn't have any olive oil. Is he allowed to take olive oil that belongs to someone else, recognizing that certainly he's going to return that olive oil, but right now he just wants to be able to use the olive oil. So there's a number of reasons to be lenient. Number one, it's his friend who he knows won't be upset that he did so. Number two, it's l'tzorech mitzvah. Number three, it is, of course, his intention to return it before his friend needs the olive oil tomorrow night to light the menorah. The Sefer Chashuki Chemet discusses this question, and he says, given all of the circumstances that we just described, there is room for leniency. Says the Gemara, Osamar be'adahachi. So the Gemara says that a Memer of Ashi ate, and Mazutra loy ochel. He didn't want to eat. And the simplest way to understand Mazutra's behavior, one way of understanding is because he was concerned, as we explained, that the Oris will not remember to take off the mount that he served them from his shear, or Tosfos Shantz explains that he was being machma on himself not to eat from that. Says the Gemara, Ad hochi osa mar beresik. Mar beresik came, ashkechinu, and he met them, v'amalei l'resik, and he said to his oris, amailoi esisu l'rabbonon, why don't you bring to the rabbonon mehanech shapirto? You should have even given better fruit. Amalei, amemim ravashi l'mazutra. So now amemim ravashi said to mazutra, hashta, so now for sure that you see that Mori Bar Esek is satisfied with what happened, you should certainly be comfortable in eating from this fruit. Amailoi ochomar, v'tanya, isn't this identical what we just learned in the previous brisa? That imnimtzu yofs mehen, and you find better fruit, and when the owner said, why don't you take from the better fruit, then the loch is truma so truma. Amru hocha amarava, le amru kalech etza yofis, when is this comment to be relied on? Elin and truma levad. Because there, the person who took off truma on my behalf, the mitzvah, he did a mitzvah, nichlei, and I'm satisfied that he did a mitzvah. Aval hocha, there's no mitzvah to give the guest fruit, and the only reason Mari Ba Esek made this statement is Mishum Sufasu Damachi. He was embarrassed. The fruit had already been given. He didn't want them to feel bad, and therefore Mazutra, says the Gemara, might have been correct in not being willing to eat the fruit without having upfront permission. Which opens up a question. The Shari Tshuva discusses, if somebody is in a situation where there's a transaction and he recognizes that this transaction, it's a gift, it's a business deal, is only being done out of embarrassment, then one should not enter into such a transaction. The Sefer Chassidim in Simen Shin Tez Zayin says, Yesh Dvarim, there are certain situations, she'enan gezel, that are not technically an act of gezela. However, ve'em chamurim gezel, they're even more serious. Kegoyim, in ba' oirich l'odom, if a guest comes to somebody's home, a feel a tzaddik v'osher, and this host is a tzaddik and a wealthy person, aval hu tzar ayin, but he's stingy, u'bush l'garash v'beisa, he's embarrassed to ask him to leave. Oy mefarnas of oichem b'shaloi, and he's giving away his own food. Obeis honor, you come visit the home of a poor person. She'ein tzipik biyodai, he doesn't have the wherewithal to give tzedakah, or give you to eat. However, ubush loy m'shein loy, he's embarrassed to say so. Ze gezel gomab din shemayim, and therefore he says, l'kein sainim atenas yichah, a person should avoid gift. V'tshuvasoy, and furthermore says, the Sefer Chassidim, one was put into such a situation, says the Sefer Chassidim, tshuvasa kasha, it's very difficult for such a person to do tshuva, shemishamloi, because if he's going to want to pay back the person who gave him something that he didn't want to give him, he won't want to take it back. And therefore, now I ended up taking something from somebody that doesn't want to get paid back, but he really didn't want to give it to me. And I saw there was a story that the Baal Leket Oini was once asked to be a sandik at a bris. And he said that, I refuse. So they asked him, why are you refusing to be a sandik? A sandik is a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful kibbud. He said, I recognize that the person who gave me that kibbud didn't really want to give it to me. He only gave it to me out of embarrassment. And when something is only given out of embarrassment, you shouldn't take it. The Torah says, regarding foods and foods being able to be mekabel tuma, the Torah says, v'chiyuta mayim al zera, v'nafal nosim olav tamei ulechem. From here we learn that foods are not susceptible to tuma unless they got wet first with one of the zayin mashkim. Tal, mayim, yayin, shemen, dam, cholav, dvash, dvoirim. Now, the halacha is, however, that it's only, they're only mekabel tuma if they got wet, they only become susceptible to mekabel tuma if they got wet, the person is satisfied that they got wet. Toshma. So says the Gemara, the Brisa teaches, Odeh tal aleihem. If there's dew or fruit, the samach, and the person is satisfied that they're wet, then hareza b'chiyutan. It's considered that they got wet and they're susceptible to tumah. Nigvu, if the fruit got dried off, apish samach, even though he was satisfied that they had gotten wet, ein b'chiyutan. They're not mekabel tumah, says the Gemara. Tamamai, how do we understand this halacha? Lab mishum deloy aminin, that we don't say kiven the glom milsa the hashta nichale, even though we ultimately know that he's satisfied. But since at the time that they were wet, he wasn't aware that they were wet, therefore we don't say the mikara nami nichale. So we see that a retroactive, like an algebra or yish that you discover later, doesn't work. Answers the Gemara, shani hosom. The ksiv kiyitain. The Torah used the words kiyitain, and sheyitain. He has to be aware that they're wet. A special halacha. Ask the Gemara, Yochi Reish Nami. Why when you find them wet, is not a problem. You didn't make them wet. And therefore it should be inadequate. Answers the Gemara, Hosom, there as long as when it was wet, you were satisfied that the reason it's good enough is given the explanation the Rapapa gave us. Hasam could Rapapa, the Rapapa Rami. Rapapa asked actually a question. Ksiv, if we read that pasuk that we quoted, kiyitain, if you look at the ksiv, it's kiyitain. That means you have to actually make the fruit wet. The Karin and Kiyutam, that they were wet. Haketzat, how do we reconcile? And the way the Ritva explains the Gemara. This is a classic example that we have many times in Shas, that the Kri and the Ksiv are inconsistent. And there's a machlokes, do we go with the creed, we go with the ksiv? What's the issue here? So explains the Ritva, sometimes the Kri and the Ksiv cannot be reconciled. If the Kri and the Ksiv cannot be reconciled, then the Halacha tells us, one shita holds you go with the Kri, one shita says you go with the Ksiv. But in a case where they can be reconciled, that both could be work, then we try to do both. And that's what we're doing here. They have to be the same type. Mayite, when you put it deliberately, ledas, you know when you want it. Af kiyutan, as long as you're satisfied, that's a special halacha here, that ledas, it's good enough. Ask the Gemara another question on the opinion of Rava. Toshma adam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel ben Yoyed Tzadik. Nine lelevede sheshot v'nor. How do we know when we have a lost object that was flooded, shimateris, that even though it has a simon, anybody could keep it, because the pasuk says the ksiv in the pasuk of Hashavas Aveda, the kain tassel chamor, the kain tassel simlosoi, the kain tassel chol avidas achicha shetovim b'menu umetzasa. Mi she'avud b'menu, something the loch of Hashavas Aveda was said by something that was lost, that the owner lost it, umetzuya tzakal adam, and somebody else found it. Yotze she'evud b'mena, if it's lost from the owner of Erem Mitzuyah, it's called Odom, that it's flooded. Now, continues the Braisa, the Halacha we learn from when there's no din of Hashavas Aveda, we can learn one from the other. Ma Teira, just like the case where the finder may keep it, it doesn't make a difference. Bein the Isbay Simon, Bein the Lospit Simon, Shara, it's mutter if there was Yush. Af Isura, the Halacha that the finder may not keep it, applies Bein the Isbay Simon, Bein the Lospit Simon. If there was no Yush, then you may not keep it, Asura. So from here we see that as long as there was no Yush, the halacha is that you can't keep it. So says the Gemara, based on this, Tuyufta the Rava Tuyufta. Rava's opinion that Yush Loi Medas is Yush has been refuted. And therefore the Gemara continues to say, Vilchsakava say the Abaya, the halacha is like Abaya in Yal Kagam. That means normally in Shas, when there's a Machloikas Abaya V'Rava, we follow the opinion of Rava. There are six exceptions, Yal Kagam. And in those cases, we follow the opinion of Abaya. And the Yud of the Yal Kagam is Yishloi Midas. That Yishloi Midas, the Aloch is, belongs to the Aloch is that it will belong to the, it's not considered a valid Yish. Amalei Achabrei, the Rava Ravashi. The Chimei Achad, the Tais of Rava, not that Rava's opinion has been refuted, Hani Tami Daziki, the dates that fall off the tree, Hechachlinaluhu, how can we eat them? The owners are not aware that they fell. So isn't this a case of Yishlei Midas? Amalei Kima Deikish Kotsu Ramashim Dakakule, since there are all types of ants and worms that eat the fruits that are on the ground, Mikara Yayish Mihem. People are miyash for anything that will fall off the fruit tree, knowing that this is something that's not edible. Amalei, so now he asks Yisame, but what happens if the trees are owned by Yisaimim, Ketanim Yisaimim, the Labanei Chilananu? They don't have the ability to make that, to do that Mechila. So then how would you be allowed to eat it? Amalei, the Aga, the Ara of the Yasmin Lam Cheskinen. We don't assume that the fruit trees are owned by Yisaimim. Ask the Gemara, but what happens if we know that there's trees that are owned by Yisaimim? Karchusamai, what happens if they're in a place where they're not eaten by ants, and therefore there isn't an automatic hefker? So it says in such a case, Amalei Asirin. The Gemara says that we don't have to be concerned that there are Yisaimim, because we go Basaroi, we follow the majority, and most trees are not owned by Yisaimim. So of course, everybody asks that the halacha is that the En Hochem and Mamanach Roiv, we have financial issues that we don't follow the Roiv. So the Darki David answers that when don't we follow Roiv? When there's a Muchsik. But here, that there is no Muchsik, then we, even by Dina Mamanach, we follow Roiv. The Meiri has a different approach. He says that indeed, by Dina Mamanach, we don't follow Roiv. But we do follow, and we're concerned about the Miut. But a Miuta, the Miuta, something which is very, very unusual, Loi Chashinin, and that property, fruit trees, should be owned by the Yisaimim, he says, is a Miuta, the Miuta. It's very unusual, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about it. We learned in the Mishnah, Krichas B'Shus Rabim, Harei L'Shaloi. If you find these Krichas in Shus Rabim, the finder may keep them. Amar Rav, V'afil B'Dov Sheish B'Sov Simen. The halacha, it seems to be that even if there's a simon on these things, the finder may keep it. Alma Kusava Rava says to Gemara, what is the basis of Rava's opinion? Because simon, Hasil Doris, if something that has a simon but it's easily to remove, people are walking there, and since people are walking there, the simon is easily going to be come off. Loi have a simon, it's not considered a simon. The Rashi explains that the reason it's not considered a siman is because certainly the owner is miyash. What is the power of a siman? The power of a siman is to prevent yiyush. But when the siman is osuladaris, it's not a good siman, and therefore doesn't prevent yiyush. Rav Amar, loishan abadav sheish by siman. The Mishnah is only referring to kriyas that don't have a siman. Av abadav sheish by siman, chayv lahakris. Al-Makusava Rava, obviously Rava's opinion is that Simon or Osla Doris have a Simon. It says the Gemara, Vikad the Masl Hashmatza, and that those that learned this discussion, Bapi Nefshah, freestanding. Simon or Osla Doris, it's not being connected to the halacha of our Mishnah, where our Mishnah spoke about the Krichais, and now we're trying to understand what type of Krichais are being discussed in our Mishnah. But rather, it's being discussed independently. Rather, the way to understand it is simon osuladoris. If something has a simon, it's osuladoris. What is the halacha? Rava amaloi have a simon, Rava amaloi have a simon. Tanan asked the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Krichas, Breshus Rabim, Hareil Shaloi. But we're going to learn Daf Chav Hei, Breshus HaYochid, Noit Lamachris. So now let's try to reconcile these two Mishnais. Hei Chidami, either less by simon. If we're referring to a situation that it doesn't have a siman, so then Rishus HaYochid may machris. What kind of announcement can you make in the Rishus HaYochid? There is no siman on these. Elalaf, obviously we're referring to a situation this by siman, that they have a siman. So Viktani, Rishus HaRabim, Harei El Shaloi, that the finder might keep it. Isn't this clearly an indication that siman asui l'doris, since there's a siman that's easily going to come off, lo yav a siman? And therefore, ask the Gemara, isn't this to yufta the Rava, a refutation of Rava's opinion that says that a siman asui l'doris is still a good siman? Amalach, Rava is going to explain the Mishnah, the loyalim demas by siman. We're speaking about that it doesn't have a siman. If that's the question, the kamrit, that the Mishnah teaches us, that b'rishus hayochid, you're going to make an announcement. Why? My machris, there's no siman. And says the Gemara, machris makam, you identify where was it found. Rava Amma, but Rava's opinion is makam, that if the loser says this is where it was, that's not a good siman. Ditma, as we did learn, makam, identifying where the lost object was found, Rava Amma, lo yav a siman, and the person who owned it cannot retrieve it. Rava Amma, and Rava says that have a siman, that it is considered a valid symbol.